Well, thank Mr. Brown for warm words of welcome. As you can see, I've been doing a bit of running around today. I've been finishing a mission down in Garber, and then I've been coming here as well. But I enjoyed my buns, and I enjoyed my sandwiches, and that is good. Well, it's lovely to be along. It's been a real blessing this morning to hear the boys and girls, and to say their pieces, and of course to sing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even tonight, it's been a real blessing to my own heart, and to see the young people taking part. I really enjoyed our young brother there singing. A dangerous thing to sing in front of me, by the way, because I've been looking for singers when I do missions here, there, and yonder. But we thank him for singing so well. And it's a wonderful thing to sing of our Savior. It's wonderful to have Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to be able to sing of him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, Mr. Brown asked me to come along tonight and to just bring a word to the youth. Of course, it's going to be to everybody. So everybody's young tonight. And of course, I want everyone to listen. I want to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. The Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 22. I'll not be reading my text just at the moment, but you'll be in the right place when that will come to us. Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you already for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for what we've heard in song, and even all of us can stand and sing of Christ. And we pray now as we return to thy word, that thou would be with us, and thou would bless us here. And we pray for any, Lord, who's in here, a stranger to grace and to God, that they might be saved, that they might find Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior tonight. So bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say a little word tonight to the young people, of course. When I think at this time of the year, we think of school, college, university, exams. I'm not going to tell you here tonight what I thought of school. I did not like school. That's just the way it was. I've never changed my opinion all these years. No disrespect to any teachers. That's just the way it was when I grew up. At this time of the year, examinations, maybe at college, maybe at school, maybe at university. Exams have to be done, of course, to show how we are succeeding, how we're getting on with schoolwork and with life. We know that exams bring great stress. I came across an article, how to reduce stress when it comes to examinations. Well, some people say, go for a quick walk. So, just get out onto the street and let's go for a good, brisk, quick walk. Someone suggests, well, if you're doing exams and you're under stress, get enough sleep. Make sure you get sleep. Someone says, eating dark chocolate. Whatever that does, I don't know. I reckon eating the milk chocolate would take away my stress. But someone suggests, eat dark chocolate, and that will help to take away your stress. Someone says, you've got to let it all out. In other words, get alone or somewhere and just roar. Just shout. And now you can try that. I don't think your neighbours would like that, of course. But they say, well, this will help you to get rid of your stress. Examinations. It's examination time. I want to say to everyone here tonight, we're going to do here tonight an examination. Do I hear a groan from everyone? I hope not. I'm going to allow everyone to do this examination tonight. Even Mr. Brown here, he sets examinations for the students. Well, I'm going to turn the tables on him tonight, and he's going to do it. And everybody in this meeting tonight, you're going to do this examination. I've good news for you, bud. There's only one question. That's the sort of exams I would have liked when I went to school. Well, there's only one question. Not a multiple choice. No, no. Just the one question. Now, there's some rules, of course, that's going to be set in place. You have to answer the question before you leave the meeting. You'll not be able to come to me at the end of the meeting and say, well, no, I'm taking this home and I'm going to study it and look at it. No, no. You're going to answer tonight before you leave the meeting. And another rule is that I'm going to give you about, I had to watch my watch here, about 25 minutes to do it. Just 25 minutes, everyone in this meeting. Another thing about it is this. You don't have to write one word. That's the sort of schooling we would have liked, is that right? You don't have to write down one word. Not one word do you have to write. And another rule for all the congregation. I hope you can see the answer here, brother. There's no copying. All right? That's one golden rule, isn't it? No copying here tonight. I don't want you to give me your neighbor's answer to sit beside you. Your mom's answer, or your dad's answer, your friend's answer. No, no. I want your answer. So make sure I've been watching you here tonight. There's no copying. He's all ready. It's examination time tonight in this meeting. I'm here. The Lord is here. And we're all gathered. The clock is starting now. Here is the question. One short, simple question found in Matthew 22 and verse 42. What think ye of Christ? This is the question tonight that I bring before all here in this congregation tonight. What think ye of Christ? This is it. Now you can see immediately. Here's a very particular question. It's about Christ and Him only. Now the Jewish people knew who the Lord Jesus was speaking about, the coming Messiah. They learned this in their catechism. As a young person growing up, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, he's the son of David. Now you can see here in this particular passage, that's what they said in verse 42. Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. They knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to. He's referring to the coming Messiah. Who was he? What think ye of the very person of Christ? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to bring here before all of these people. Who is he? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, they said, well, he's the son of David. Well, the Lord turned him around to Psalm 110, verse 1. Would you tell me, he says, and you can see it here in this particular passage, how was it then when David in spirit called him Lord? For David said, the Lord, he said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to bring before this people who he is. How was it David called him Lord if he's the son of David? And dear friends, the teaching of the Bible about the Lord Jesus is very plain. He's a son of man, but he's a son of God. And we find that in Matthew 1 verse 1 that says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, showing us here his humanity. That the Lord Jesus Christ would come of the seed of David. Now we know, of course, when we come to the Bible and we see the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, he came from the seed of David. But Mark chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen, the Son of God, emphasizing his deity. And so when we think of the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of the God-man, God who came in the flesh. That's why Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 and the verse 16, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who thou art. And so this question fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was very particular and very plain. What think ye of Christ? Who is he? Am I not asking you that question here tonight? I'm not asking you tonight what you think of the preacher, for that doesn't really matter. I'm not asking you here tonight, what do you think of the Free Presbyterian Church? That is not the question. I'm not asking you, do you say your prayers? I'm going to ask you tonight to read your Bible. It's examination time. But what think you of Christ? What do you think of the Lord Jesus, whose God became man and came into this world? Now, we cannot fully explain the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but we believe that Christ is the Messiah. We believe He is Lord. We believe He is God. We believe He is King of Kings. And yet He became man. So what do you think of Him? The greatest person who ever came into this world, who ever lived in this world, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So what think ye of the person of Christ? What do you think about the performances of Christ? You know, when you read the Bible, you read all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You read about His life. You'll read about His labors. For instance, in Matthew 11, verse 2, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of His disciples. But notice here we find he heard about the works of Jesus Christ. And he said to two of His disciples, well, go and talk to Him. Go and ask Him, is He the Christ who is to come? Go and speak to Him. And so the two disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see what the Lord said to them. In Matthew 11, verse 5, He says, or verse 4, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Listen, go and tell John all about these things. Go and tell him about My miracles. And raising the dead and healing the lepers and opening the eyes of the blind. I am doing great works. Oh, dear friends, when you look in the Bible, you see how lovingly the Lord Jesus Christ was. Tenderly He helped the sick, reaching out to help the poor. See Him displaying His love towards all of these people who in a sense were down and out. But the Lord Jesus walked in their midst. And you know, He loved them. He reached out to them. He did all He could to help them. Remember they said about Christ's works, His enemies said in John 7, verse 31, and many of the people believed in Him and said, when Christ cometh, will He do more miracles than these which this man hath done? And these people were watching Him. They saw the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great miracles that came from His hands. Dear friends, read His earthly life. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter was preaching there in the house of Cornelius, and he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, listen, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's a divine summing up of the life of Christ. He went about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I read the Bible. It tells me about the great power of Jesus Christ, the miracles, the love He had to people. And I say to you tonight in examination time, what do you think of Christ? Read the Bible. You see nothing but love flowing from Him. Tenderness towards people who needed Him. But glad He's still the same today. We're glad He's still the same today in this meeting. Are you down? Are you out? Are you held by immorality, sin, drugs, drink? I'm glad there's one can help you. The Lord Jesus Christ. The loving Savior. He's still the same. He's the same yesterday, today and forever, friends. He's the same. What do you think of the forms of Christ's works? What do you think of the passion of Christ? Paul wrote these words in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, notice these words, Christ died for us. That's the one we're considering here in our examination tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, writing here to the church of Rome, he says, listen, God commendeth his love toward us, this wonderful, mighty love of God. He commended it towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ, he died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who came in the flesh, who was holy, who was God the Son, who went about doing good and doing great miracles and showing nothing but love and tenderness towards people who needed him. He died. But dear friends, here it is. He died for us. For us. When I come to the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had no sin. He's spotless, he's holy, he's pure. He did no sin. He knew no sin. And in him is no sin. I tell you tonight, there's plenty of sin in us. Maybe one of us in this meeting have went astray. We have sinned against God. And there may be someone in this meeting tonight, and they're deep in sin, far away from God tonight. But Christ died for us. He died for sinners. He showed his great love. And he suffered greatly. Remember, he says in Luke 24, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered? I cannot tell you tonight from this pulpit how much he suffered. But he suffered greatly when he hung and died upon the cross. The great prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the word wounded there means tormented. He was tormented. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he became our sin bearer. Our sins was placed upon him. And when God the Father looked at his Son, his beloved Son, and saw all this filth and all this sin, his wrath fell upon him. He suffered greatly. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered for our sins. He endured the wrath of God the Father. He made an atonement to put away our sin. Listen, by one sacrifice of himself, he died. He shed his blood. He died in agony. What think ye of Christ? And I want you to be honest tonight in this meeting. What do you think of Christ upon the cross? What do you think of it? Is it everything to you tonight in this meeting? My Redeemer, our brother, was singing about it so well tonight. My Savior died upon the cross. He loved me. Paul said he loved me and he gave himself for me. What do you think of this? Oh, the world laugh at it. They mock the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject everything about him. But I'm asking you tonight in this meeting, in the examination, what do you think of him? What do you think of Christ going to the cross and giving his life and shedding his blood and opening up this fountain, friends, for sin and for uncleanness, and there's power in the blood? What do you think of him? He didn't have to do it. He did it because he loved us. What do you think of him? We think of the power of Christ. In John 4, verse 42, the people from Samaria said to the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, listen, the Savior of the world. This is who he is. I'm asking you tonight in this examination to consider Christ. He's the Savior of the world, all over the world. He's mighty to save, and he's powerful to save. He can save the very uttermost. There's power in his blood. He can save the worst sinner. And some here tonight in this meeting, you were the worst maybe around this community. I do not know. But he's power to save. The Lord Jesus Christ is mighty to save. No one else has this power. No one else has this authority to save. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He has power to save. He saves the worst. Read the Bible. He just saw of Tarsus, wicked and wretched, a Christ rejecter. And yet the Lord Jesus reached down and he saved them, so much so that the Apostle Paul said later on, he said, he's the chief of sinners. He said the Lord has saved them. What do you think of this? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's power to save. He is the Savior of the world. That's the message of the Bible. That's the message tonight to the congregation. The question brings us to Christ. What do you think of him? I'm asking you tonight a plain and particular question to consider Christ in this meeting. To consider the things I've said about him tonight. What think ye of Christ? Not only a particular question, I believe it's a penetrating question, because notice the words, what think ye of Christ? Notice, it's not what you say about Christ. But what do you think of him? For a man must say all the right things about the Lord Jesus Christ, but the question, it is not addressing the lips of man tonight. The question in our examination tonight is not for your lips, it's for your heart. It penetrates right down to the very depths of your heart tonight. Because think of that verse in Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart's a real man. It's in here it counts, isn't it? What a man or woman is in their heart is what they really are tonight in this meeting. And this question goes right into your heart. The Lord wants to know, what do you think of him? That's really it tonight, friends. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ, he asked the question. I'm only a messenger tonight and bringing this question. It's the Lord Jesus tonight, really, in a sense, spiritually speaking, standing before us. And he's speaking to your heart in this meeting. And he's saying, what do you think of me? Right down to your heart tonight. Do you think lovely of him? Do you say, like a song, says the Song of Solomon 5, verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, did you tell him that I am sick of love? She was lovesick for Christ. Her heart was crying out for her beloved. Do you think lovely of Christ? You see, as Spurgeon said, a wonderful statement when he talked about Christ. He said, if there did lie between my soul and Christ seven hells, I would swim through them that I might get to him. What tremendous. If there were seven hells between me and Christ, Spurgeon said, and he would go through them. Just to get to Jesus Christ, you see, he loved them. He loved Christ. He wanted to find them. He wanted to be with them. Do you think lovely of Christ? Do you love him? I'm asking you tonight, to your heart. Do you think constantly of him? Is he on your mind? I speak to young people and I speak to everyone, as I said at the beginning of our sermon tonight. Psalm 139, verse 18, the psalmist said about his thoughts, if I would count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Early in the morning, he was thinking of Christ. When I awake, I'm still with you. She said in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thy Lord only maketh me dwell in safety. So when he was lying down at the end of the night, listen, he was still thinking of Christ. First thing in the morning, last thing at night, he was thinking of Christ constantly. Some people never think of Christ at all. Maybe that's you in the meeting. He says, I can't wait till this exam's over. I can't wait till you're out of here. You never think of Christ. Friends, you should. It's important. Do you think joyfully of him? Psalm 104, verse 34 said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. He was thinking of Christ joyfully, of his love and mercy that he had to his soul. He found life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very penetrating question tonight. Speak to your heart. Speak into your heart tonight. What think you of Christ? Do you love him? Do you think about him? Speak into your heart tonight. And we're nearly finished. Because here's a prominent question in our exam tonight. It's a question of all questions. All other questions fall into insignificance in relation to this one. You'll never be asked a more important one than this. Christ is God. He's Lord, He's King, He's Savior. Here's a very prominent question, because the destiny of your soul depends on what you think of Christ. That's how important the question is. Think of sinners stand. Romans 14 verse 10 is back for all of us, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One day the question is going to be reversed. What does he think of me? What does he think of me? And I want you to think of this on save tonight in this meeting. If you die without Jesus Christ, you'll come before him and he'll look at you and you'll look at Christ. And you say, what does he think of me? Not much. If you come to him in that state. What about your soul? You think nothing of Christ. I had to be honest. And our brother here no doubt preaches the gospel every week to you. You'll lose your soul. He that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he that believes has everlasting life. And the salvation of your soul depends on your relationship to Jesus Christ. If a sinner takes or thinks nothing of Christ, they will lose their soul. And they'll lose it for all eternity. But dear friends, it's so important that you answer this question right. That you say, I want him. I need him as my Savior. I need him to take away all of my sins and to give me everlasting life. And if you repent and turn from your sin and come to Jesus Christ, he will save you. He will save you. He will give you everlasting life, friends. Repent and believe the gospel. Maybe you have thought nothing of him. I want to say to you, we're coming to a close examination. Change your answer now, you will. And give me a couple of minutes to change it. Maybe you've been running away from Christ. You've been hiding from him. Put him to one side. Put him out of your mind. I say to you tonight, turn. Turn to Jesus Christ. Just come the way you are. And he'll save you. Even though if you rejected him for years, friends. We all did. I did it before I got saved. He'll have mercy. He will take you in. Isn't that wonderful? Heaven that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He will save you and give you everlasting life. Listen, the exam's over. The exam's over. That's it. So what's your answer? What's your answer in your heart? I told you don't have to write nothing down. I'm not even going to ask you to get out through the door. Well, what did you write down? I'm not going to ask you. And Mr. Brown's not going to ask the other. But God's looking at the answer. God's looking. So what do you think of him? Says the Song of Solomon, Christ is altogether lovely. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad I have that answer tonight. I can give you my answer. The exam's over. You can't copy my answer. But that's the answer, isn't it? He's altogether lovely. And God's people's rejoicing in him to hear tonight. I want you to accept him. Come to him. He will save you and give you everlasting life. Thank you very much. Thank you.